Hello and welcome to another episode of Corks Talks, where I talk about anything and everything of interest to me, whether that be political, economic, social, cultural, technological, legal, environmental, you name it, I'll speak about it. Today is a review episode of the one and only recently released rom-com entitled Rye Lane, and as per its name, it is an ode to the wonderful Peckham Rye area, neighborhood. What's more than the neighborhood? Anyone who knows about South London knows how diverse it is in particular areas such as Peckham, Brixton, Tulse Hill, Mitcham, Vauxhall, Stockwell. There's just a huge Afro Caribbean and African population, diasporic things. Really lovely to see such a community come together in an otherwise very undiverse country, only because London, when in context compared to other cities and towns, is the most culturally diverse city in the UK. And I sometimes I forget that I live here. Sometimes I forget how much of a privilege it is. Actually, I don't think I forget it's a privilege to live. I think everyone else does. But I try to go to as many to events as possible just to really experience this. And I fundamentally enjoyed Rye Lane. It was so funny. I was able to watch a private viewing and an exclusive screening. And I had expectations just because it featured David Johnson, who features in the show Industry, as like one of the junior bankers. And I had never seen him before. And he was actually on, he did a like theatre stage production, and I missed it. And I was so gutted because I know he is like top tier Black British talent. Like he, I mean, I was saying to somebody previously, we had a whole bunch of young Black male talent coming over these past few years that have just absolutely stormed through the industry in ways that were that's just very unlikely and hard to do. And I'm stressing like Black because no offense to the mixed race guys, but we didn't really have like these guys with just two Black parents storming the industry years back. I always think to myself, we had our trifecta of David Oyelowo, Idris Elba, and Chiwetel Ejiofor. Like these was our this was our holy trinity, and now it's extended. Obviously Daniel Kaluuya is absolutely blowing out of the water, completely top of the charts. But you've got your John Boyega, you've got your Samuel Adewunmi, you've got your Papa Esiedu, Gamba Cole, Tosin Cole, Michael Ward, and David Johnson is a deliberate addition to that list because he's so clever in the roles he selects. How genuine his character is, how easy he can shapeshift. You know, in industry, he was kind of this silky, shady, privileged young man from a, I believe, a family of diplomats who kind of had an awakening and realized his heritage went beyond the school he went to, his educational level, and actually was more to do with who he was as a character. And of course, in the industry, you see him engage in intimacy with another man, and that's not something that we often see Black male characters do. Obviously, Michaela Cole did that too, and I May Destroy You with Papa Esiedu. So it's nice to see like Black male characters really ex exit their typical zone of sexuality and show multiple colors of intimacy and masculinity. I was even thinking the other day, I have to double check his name, but I think it's Kedar William Sterling as well. He's another example of somebody who in sex education, again, that series was so clever because it didn't really conclude what sexuality was, which I think a lot of shows, TV, films, plays try to do, which is here's your story, here's your finale, that's it. But Kedar William Sterling's character Jackson was falling for a non-binary character and didn't know what sexuality to identify with. So it was interesting to me to see that quote-unquote representation of Black British men. But just dialing back to David Johnson, there's something really endearing about him. I don't know why. It might be the lazy eye. I don't know, but I really like him. And watching him just storm to the top with these characters that are incredibly dynamic and not overlapping in any way, it really makes me happy. I like how not invisible he is, but like how unknown he appears to be. He's still in that fresh actor phase, even though I'm sure that his roster goes back far, because one thing I'm learning about your favorite Black British actor, they've always been in the industry for at least 10 years before you've seen them. You know, it is a case of being on the advert, being a supporting character, having a brief spell in something somewhere that is no longer available to the masses because of licensing fees and limited budgets. But this brilliant rom-com is directed by Rain Allen Miller. And there was something really sumptuous about this story of man meets woman in that typical phase of late 20s. So it's not about marriage, it's not about making relationships perfect, it's just kind of about making things work. And to meet these two characters at such a stage in their life where they've both gone through breakups and how they deal with it differently was extremely fun to see. David Johnson plays a character called Dom. Vivian Opara plays a character called Yaz. They meet at an art gallery, which is like super cringe, but the humor starts pretty early. And there's telephonic color, there's music that is representative of the community. The pace of it at the beginning was quite slow for me, but it picked up eventually. There was a real chemistry between the two. Dom is your kind of withdrawn, contrived, particular type of man, just gone through a breakup, very expressive about it. I mean, the first scene is of him crying in the toilet. He's got pink Converses on, you know what I mean? And then you've got Yaz, who's kind of gregarious, otherworldly. She's a costume designer, so she's also in the creative scene. He's an accountant. So you get that polarization. You know, there were pieces online already before it even came out, like by The Guardian, talking about how like it might gentrify the community, like Notting Hill did. And you just think to yourself, bro, I think Peckham didn't need this film for gentrification. I think that gentrification was long overdue. What am I saying, long overdue? I mean, it already happened, like way before this film was probably even considered. This film is probably, if anything, a panacea for that, because it's trying to show you the heritage of what Peckham Rye is or was before you've got this heave of gentrification coming in to uproot the community, boost living costs, push people out, redevelop certain areas. So it's crazy. But it was really funny. The dialogue was clever. That Gen Z, I kind of hate how simplistic everyone just kind of throws the word Gen Z everywhere and then they think it's like super explanatory. It's not really. But they're both in their mid to late 20s. They're not like new uni grads. They both started out doing shitty jobs, which I liked as well, you know. They didn't just fall into their top industry, you know. Dom starts out in KFC. Yaz is trying to become a costume designer, but right now it's just a buyer for like a shop company, a clothing company. So again, like not everyone is exactly where they want to be when they find someone they're attracted to. I'm trying not to call it a love story. You know, it's a romantic comedy. There is romance. I feel like it's so easy to just leap to that term. To me, it's not a love story. It's a meet cute, as they say. It's these two people who are just really cool, funny, and have some chemistry going on, bounce off one another. and romance ensues. It makes me want to watch more romantic comedies. I don't know if I'll find them as funny, but it was obviously really important to get this Black Britishness on show. Besides the scenery, of course, like of African market stalls and obviously cameos from some amazing faces in the Black British community, like Levi Roots or Michael Dapper or Munya Chihuahua. So all of these guys helping make the story more genuine, more true, verify the legitimacy of like this is people in our community that we're reflecting. But then also having like Sally Phillips show up and then Colin Firth was also nice because it's like an ode to, I guess, traditional British English stories. It is Britain, it is England, even though it's Peckham, you know. Sometimes when you're in certain neighborhoods or areas, you forget that you're in England. Like I always tell people, I thought like Walthamstow or Waltham Forest was England until I left. Like you think that everyone everywhere has this level of diversity, looks like you, acts like you, talks like you. So you go into the other spaces and you're like, oh my God, like, wow, you guys are different, fam. You know what I mean? And there's nothing wrong with that, but it's something to learn. And I guess I have to ask more questions and stuff because when I was watching this, there were moments I was cackling and I was like, if I didn't have this reference point, would this be as funny? You know, like, I love the story. I think it was really compelling to say, hey, these two have issues they're both trying to avoid, and they gel with one another, trying to overcome. And there's a few moments where they rub each other the wrong way. It's not all perfect. They say things that hurt one another, even though they've just met. Like it gets quite intense, and they're ribbing each other pretty early on. And you're like, oh God, like where's this gonna go? And you know it's gonna go good. Like you know they're gonna be fine in the end. But again, it's one of those circular stories where the beginning relates to the end. They start at an art gallery, they end after an art gallery. There's things they reference in the first few minutes that end up coming full circle towards the end. It's a delicious watch. Like I'm trying to find like exactly the words to say so I can really get into detail, but it's something you have to watch. I liked the colors. I liked the playful elements of cinematography, how one character would become a thousand in like a cinema room. So it was like mentioning things like Peckham Plex, which of course a well-known cinema in Peckham. There were moments where Dom, David Johnson's character, would like appear as one and then appear as a thousand. And you know, those kind of effects you don't really see in films nowadays. Like everything has to be almost super hyper realistic. It didn't try to do that. Like it was just itself. The colourful clothing, the dips in pace, the awkwardness, the eccentricity. There's good phrases. I've keep seeing these words, like someone described it as fizzy in the Financial Times and in the Eye Paper, which I think is quite interesting because it does give it like a fizz, crackle, pop kind of energy. It's like a taste of Rubicon or KA. Like it really is that kind of refreshing watch. And I watched it after a long, tiring day. I was like, do I want to? Should I? I was so glad I did. It's a debut from Rain. Rainn Allen Miller. So hopefully we'll see more stories like this come day to day. From walking through the market stall, like to those little malls that are kind of shut down and it didn't go so far into heritage where you're like it's a history lesson. It's just a story that just so happens to be in Peckham, but everything about the area enriches the story, which I think is key. It wasn't pretending to be it wasn't pretending to be this history lesson, which sometimes some series really try. Like when they go to the shop, they buy Super Malt, right? But it doesn't feel cringy. It feels quite genuine, you know? They end up at a garden party, a Caribbean garden party. Again, doesn't feel just legitimate. When you go out with your friend and you're from the Black community, you end up doing these things. They're normal to us, but to someone else, it's probably a big deal. But the whole film audience was Black, like probably 99.9% Black. I went to see at the Genesis Cinema, so ain't gonna worry about that one. I think that the lenses and the photography were really key to the story, which I really liked. I loved the colors. It made it upbeat, considering how much I like 7 p.m. It's dark, I'm tired, I've had a long day at work, and I'm seeing all of these colors and beauties on the stage, on the screen before me, and it makes me see London in another light. It made me say to myself, let me jump on a dating website, you know what I mean, for that romantic comedy feel. Because I said to myself as I was watching it, you know what, they're probably not going to get married, but that's not the point of the story. It's supposed to be fun and cute, like, and that's not saying they won't get married. The point is, like, it's not supposed to be so deep. There's a lot of odes to music, which is of course inherent to Black identity. You've got A Tribe Called Quest getting mentioned. You've got Sugar and Pepper. I did wonder why not Black British musicians, but again, if that wasn't true to the story, then you don't need that element, you know. Like, if their favorite artists are African American, so be it. Because again, it's not this history lesson of, hey, this is a Black British story, look at the end, look at the grime artists we're playing. And they did play Black British musicians, don't get me wrong, on the musical score, but it's just this idea that these are people who are anything. If they are anything, they are themselves. So I won't talk too much. I just highly recommend everyone to watch it. It was so funny. The obsession with all the cringe, with like people's mouths and people's knickers and people's butts. Like, it's just that was the English element to it, because only a British show could like put a wrinkly ass on screen and have everybody laughing. Do you know what I mean? But it was necessary to break the ice. And even though it actually grappled with quite serious themes like cheating, living costs, i.e. moving out from your house with your parents, friendships, relationship breakups that are romantic and platonic, professional stagnation. Like, when you look at it holistically, you're like, oh, this is a story about like infertility. Like, not infertility like in the traditional sense, I mean like people who were meant to create legacies or make waves in the world, who are stunted because of emotional breakdowns or lack of finance or difficulty in their industry, you know what I mean? Like, that's exactly the problem. But that whole mine of revenge that both of them take, it wasn't one-sided. I like that equality, or maybe equity. I like that it's all in one day. It's not this fake transitory story of, oh, I'll see you tomorrow, because sometimes, you know, when you live in London, you might only get the love story for a day, you might not even get it for a week, so you hold on to it, but you can. And it is believable. You meet people sometimes and things go very well. So it was an ideal watch for me. I highly encourage everybody to pop down and see it. It's basically in cinemas everywhere. It's been advertised everywhere at my local station, you know, really key. Everyone to watch it. So yeah, do enjoy, and I'll put the review in the description, and yeah, we'll be back with another review later on. Bye and take care.